You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
I'm John Batzer with Professor Josiah Osgood. Uncommon Wrath is the new book, How Caesar and Cato's Deadly Rivalry Destroyed the Roman Republic. Crassus is dead. Pompey is all-powerful in Rome thanks to Cato. The Senate is in charge. The people are satisfied for the moment, but they're paying attention to Caesar issuing routinely at the end of the campaign season his successes. Caesar returns to Ravenna, which is at the end, edge of his assigned parts of the empire to police, to maintain. He hears that the Senate has effectively declared war on him by passing a law that is extremely exclusive. And Caesar then issues the very famous Greek saying, let the die be cast. He crosses the Rubicon. We begin civil war. Professor, right away, Pompey makes a decision to leave Rome. And Cato reluctantly goes with him. Why does Pompey withdraw from Caesar at this point, who hasn't gathered a huge army, but has a determined army?
Yeah, so this civil war really was a tragedy. Many of these figures had lived through a civil war in their early lives. On some level, nobody really wanted it. And yet the kind of polarization of politics forced everyone, or everyone claimed they were forced to fight it. But what this led to was sort of interesting strategies. And Caesar sort of came up with an idea of clemency. And he would sort of welcome anyone to come over to his side. He didn't want to be seen as the aggressor. And Pompey came up with this idea of evacuating Italy and going to the east, where he had all these connections from earlier in his career, relationships with kings there and the local peoples. So he would raise a large army and also build up a navy. And what his idea seems to have been, it didn't work, but what his idea seems to have been was that he would sort of encircle Caesar in Italy and kind of put pressure on him that way, avoiding major battles, which would be bloody, and where I think we must conclude Pompey felt he was at a disadvantage, that Caesar really did, as a general, have that killer instinct. And I think it made Pompey, for various reasons, a little bit nervous. So that's kind of the setup of the civil war. And it basically explains what happens, which is Caesar moved so quickly around the Mediterranean, he kind of frustrated the plan of encirclement and would force Pompey into a big battle.
Cato, on the other hand, is told to head off to Sicily and secure it, but he dawdles. He doesn't race there. Cato not only doesn't want to battle Caesar, he doesn't want to fight at all. He's not a general. Yeah. He's never been a general. But his idea of resolution is to draw it out. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Cato, again, continued this relationship he'd been forming with Pompey. And not all of their allies actually loved this idea. You know, some of them, these are Roman generals. They really tend to have been very aggressive. So they think we've got to fight him. Some of them even try to take on Caesar in Italy against Pompey's wishes. It led to disaster for them. So Cato went along with this plan and really kind of it mirrored almost his favorite political strategy of filibuster. Just try to delay things, wear down the enemy, wear Caesar down, but don't fight him in a big battle. So Cato went along with this. And as we're saying, it sort of made sense on paper, but it actually really didn't meet the military challenge that Caesar posed. So the strategy was doomed.
The legions are unhappy with Caesar at one point. I believe it's the 9th Legion, my notes suggest. And Caesar is not going to bend. He tells the 9th Legion they're in revolt. They want money. They want to know why we're killing other Romans. And he means to kill them all. They beg his forgiveness. And he says, all right, I'll forgive you. I understand it's an upsetting time, but someone must pay. And I was impressed by this, Professor. He says that they must, of the 120 leaders of the revolt in the Legion, they must draw lots and 12 must die. That's extremely impressive 2,000 years later. He needs this army, but he's ready to execute men who have fought for him because they rebuked him at a critical time. He's bloody-minded. Does Pompey know about this? Does Cato know about this? Because this is a different personality than they have.
Yeah, so word must have reached them. And that episode really, I'm glad you mentioned it, it perfectly shows Caesar's iron will. And it is one of the problems of civil war, right? You're getting Roman citizens to fight one another. And you've got to pay them. You've got to promise them money and make the war as acceptable as possible for the soldiers. So unlike in Gaul, where the army stuck with Caesar through thick and thin, he actually faced that mutiny and one other big mutiny. So it clearly was a problem. And he had to show in that situation that he couldn't really be blackmailed by his army and made a calculated use of force. So there was another mutiny to follow, though. So Caesar didn't completely keep his grip on his army the whole time.
Pompey has a sizable army. Pompey's 60 years old. He has 9 legions, 500 ships. It just grows because he's in the east. They come to a battle in 48, Dyrrhachium. Caesar's defeated. Caesar flees the field. And what? What did Pompey do? What did Cato do?
Yeah, so this is where, in fairness, you could say Pompey's strategy actually might have worked because he sort of put Caesar under pressure on his food supply, weakened Caesar. But what Pompey failed to do at the last moment was drive home the victory because he lacked this kind of offensiveness. It's a little bit like, for those who know the history of the Civil War, right? Lincoln's challenge with his generals until he gets Ulysses S. Grant, who is willing to do what it takes to win the battles, to defeat Robert E. Lee. And Pompey kind of lacked that ability to drive home the victory. So Caesar ended up prevailing.
August of 48, really June. I love that detail. The Julian calendar, it's June. The Battle of Pharsalus, Pompey's goaded into fighting, having declined the fight to this point. Caesar wins. Pompey flees. Brutus, who joins Pompey's army, surrenders to Caesar, and Caesar forgives him. Cato flees with the fleet. Cicero flees. Caesar's the winner. And yet, rather than press home the point, Caesar spends time in Alexandria romancing and battling with the Ptolemies, romancing Cleopatra and battling Ptolemy the 13th. And as you make it very clear, Caesar, having reached the pinnacle of success in the Civil War, gets distracted by Cleopatra, and it lasts a long time. What, 2 years? Almost 2 years.
Yeah, he really misread the situation in Alexandria and blundered into this war and then took up with Cleopatra as an ally, but that offended the locals even more. So it was essentially a problem of his own making and allowed the opposition. Pompey was killed, actually, by the king of Egypt. So Pompey was out of the picture. Caesar had been chasing him there. But what happened was it allowed the surviving opponents to regain strength in Africa.
We need to go to Africa.
A little bit to the west of Egypt, yeah, in what is Tunisia.
Yes, Tunisia. Africa, the province of Africa is Tunisia today. And the armies there are substantive, especially because they're joined by allies. And Caesar, again, is reckless in charging into this situation without adequate forces and without understanding the terrain. And again and again and again, Caesar is ready to be defeated, and then he wins. But we're following Cato, because Cato eventually flees to Utica and prepares Utica for defense against Caesar's army. And yet, in Utica, here is the mystery of Cato. Does he lose heart, Professor? Is he already thinking that the civil war is a catastrophe and I can't stay?
Yeah, so Caesar forced a battle with the others. Cato was left in charge of Utica. It was kind of the capital of the Roman province, and they turned it into a supply depot, a staging area. It was an important port. So Cato ran that with his typical efficiency and kept the army afloat that way, but he wouldn't fight himself. He wouldn't be in command. So word comes that Caesar's had this knockout victory against the others. And at that point, it's clear Africa's lost. There are a few allies still for the Republican side, Cato's side, left in Spain. So there's an idea, let's go to Spain. And one of Pompey's sons is there. Cato very heroically kind of supervises an evacuation. Anyone who wants to go to Spain gets on a ship. Many of them make it there. But Cato very interestingly refused to continue the fight, even though others were. And that is, yes, on some level, his accepting of defeat, but also trying to secure a victory on his own terms. And what that actually meant was, after Cato saw that the others got away, he sort of had a last dinner with his friends. His young son was there. And then he went into his bedroom and he had a sword. It wasn't there. And he said, I need this. What if, you know, Caesar comes? What if the enemy comes? I have to be able to defend myself. And then he withdraws into his room, and the others there sort of hear a noise of something knocking over. And they come in and find that Cato had stabbed himself. He had taken his own life. They call in a doctor. The doctor tries to tend to the wounds, but Cato, we're told very graphically, he sort of tears open the wounds and died at that point. And what he was trying to do, I think, was, you can say he was defeated, but this was a way to ensure that he would never fall into the hands of Julius Caesar, that he wouldn't have to go beg Julius Caesar for mercy. And it would taint Caesar's military victory. It would mar whatever kind of political regime Caesar went on to form.
The book is Uncommon Wrath: How Caesar and Cato's Deadly Rivalry Destroyed the Republic. Cato is dead. Caesar will die within 2 years. But 2,000 years later, what do we know about Cato's death that informs the Roman Empire for 2,000 years, the Roman Empire and its inheritors in Europe and in America? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.